D-Base Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter, and co-host of Chasing Big Joe today, in place of Big Joe Dubin. Excellent job, as always, Teron. I wanted to ask you about something that Adam Schefter tweeted about yesterday that I find fascinating. He said that this is the closest to the start of the NFL draft that there have been no trades for first-round picks in the common draft era. He mentions that the Joe Montana trade in 1993 came 5 days before the draft. This year now has surpassed that. Any theories as to why there have been no first-round picks traded ahead of this draft?
Well, first of all, I might add host of Talking with TD, the podcast,
of course,
as well, to the list.
You are a multi-hyphenate, my friend. You do everything.
But, I think it's interesting that no team has traded into the first round or anything like that. And I think it's just a testament to what a lot of people have been saying, and that the value in this draft is really in the second and third round and fourth round. And that's something that, you know, a lot of people talk about, that there's so many starters that could be found even on day two, day three. And that's what probably is making teams less likely to trade into the top part of it, because this draft doesn't have an abundance of blue chip players that, you know, would warrant the big time trade up. And then again, you got a team at the top that is rejecting trades, apparently, and that's the Titans.
So there isn't expected to be much drama with the number one overall pick. We're expecting it to be Cam Ward. I remember talking to you right after you left the NFL Combine. Your biggest takeaway was that if the Titans stick at number one, they're taking Cam Ward. So let's talk about number 35. If you had to guess right now, your gut, which position, if the Titans stay at 35, which position do you think they take at number 35?
Well, it's going to be one of two. And it's hard to say exactly which position, because you don't know who's going to be on the board. But if they stick at 35, it's going to either be a receiver or it's going to be an edge rusher, right, a pass rusher. But there's always that chance that, you know, that projected top 20 pick tumbles out of the first round and that person is there at 35, and you look at your board and you're like, well, and it's a position that you may not have expected them to pick, and they do it. But I really think it's going to be one of the two, pass rusher or pass catcher.
Now, TD, we had a conversation last week about, and I think one of the it was either one of the callers or we were Adam was reading an article by a writer about trading, potential trades within the draft, and was talking about the Tennessee Titans and Jeffrey Simmons, the possibility of Jeffrey Simmons. Who was that was talking about the trade?
Sam Phelan of A to Z Sports wrote an article, Teron, looking at the defensive linemen that the Titans had in for their 30 visits, because there were some highly regarded defensive linemen who were brought in to visit Nashville, and wondered if that could mean some writing on the wall for Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, so we know that the Titans are not, it doesn't seem like they're going to do anything before the draft. But can you see a scenario under what, let's just say this, under what scenario do you see a guy like Jeffrey Simmons? Because I can only imagine that Darren Wilson in his, you know, in that office or in that war room, just standing on his chair saying, don't pull the trigger, do not trade him. But what under what scenario can you see that possibly happen? Because he's probably the only guy on your team right now that can, you know, get you more than a third round pick.
Yeah. So for me, and we talked about this morning on the Chase and Big Joe show, it would have to take like one of those deals that teams make for a quarterback. You know what I mean? Because here's the thing. Let's say you trade him for a first round pick. All right, cool. You get a first round pick. Guess what you hope the first round pick will do? Have an impact like Jeffrey Simmons. Why not just stick with what you have and what you know is what it is, you know? And I think you look at him and you look at, yeah, draft currency is really good, but you draft prospects to become outstanding pros, which is what Jeffrey Simmons already is. So it would take a crazy offer. I know just from talking to people on both sides of the equation here, there isn't any, you know, request or any desire to trade. So that's definitely a good thing, you know, from a Titans perspective, from a Jeffrey Simmons perspective, and they just got to see how this thing plays out.
Now, it's with that second pick in the second round, if indeed, because listen, they're going to have to address the skill position somehow, some way, and they may have to do it in the second round. But say if that guy that they are looking at isn't there, say like a Luther Burden III or you know, the guy out of Ole Miss or one of these other guys that are ranked up there, if one of those guys get drafted late in the first round, can you see them possibly going after a tight end then? Because, listen, I understand people want wide receivers, and I understand why. But in today's football, if you can get that versatile tight end, that becomes just like a wide receiver in a sense.
Yeah, you know, that one is really interesting to me, the tight end position. And it just seems like that keeps getting pushed. I still feel Chig Okonkwo is a very capable tight end. But, I mean, you know, if a guy like Colston Loveland is there at 35, you definitely got to think about it. Mm-hmm. You got to think about it. I mean, that's the number two tight end on most boards, you know, to Tyler Warren. And some people have him even higher. But then again, I think at the same time, you also got to look at it like, okay, how much separation is there from Colston Loveland to, like, Elijah Arroyo, who was Cam Ward's tight end at Miami, right? Like, how much separation is there? How much separation is there from Loveland to Mason Taylor? You know what I mean? And so I think when you look at those things, you got to try to figure out, like, okay, is this enough of a difference for me to elevate that above the pass rusher that may be available, the receiver that may be available? And that's what you have to decide.
So do you think, with that being said, because you are right, because you don't have, you know, multiple picks, or you don't have picks in every round, you have to be very calculated on what you're doing in regards to who you're getting. But does that make it even more imperative that somehow, some way, they find a way to get back into the third round?
You always want to get back into the third round anyway. It does increase it. But, I mean, you look at some of the other guys, like, you know, they've done a lot of work on Ferguson, you know what I mean? And he's a guy that probably with one of your, your later of the fourth-round picks or even a fifth-round pick, you could probably get a guy like that. You look at, Rondae Gadsden Jr., right? Mm-hmm. I remember watching him at the Shrine practices, and this guy was pretty good, and he's a matchup problem. So, again, it goes back to how do you foresee the rest of the draft going, and that will really dictate whether or not you got to move into the third round for a tight end, and I think that's really the way to look at it.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, just a quick timeout to salute our New York Mets. Four-game sweep over the Cardinals. Did you get a kick out of my text to our former colleague and big Cardinal fan, Caroline Fenton?
Yeah, I loved it, man. It was really funny. I had tickets to that the April 17th game. I sold them instead of going, man.
Well, that's all right. The season is young. Knock on wood. So far, so good. But it is fun to sweep the Cardinals, who refer to Mets fans and Mets players as pond scum. So we had a little fun at Caroline's expense. First time they've swept pond scum. That's what Mets fans are known as
in the
city of St. Louis.
Strawberry video where he was walking, and ironically, Strawberry lives in St. Louis now.
Is that right? Oh, man, of all cities. That's funny. So, Teron, you referenced this earlier right at the start of the interview, and you said that the Titans are turning down trades for the first pick. Is that because nobody's really come to the table with anything that is worth their time, or do you think that it just shows the conviction in Cam Ward?
Yeah, I think that's really the bigger question within the question is, okay, which one is it? Like, why are you turning down offers? And I don't know, honestly. I don't know. I know there were some things swirling around about the Giants and the Giants making a decent offer to move up to one. I don't know, though, and I think that's really that's something I'm going to try to unearth tomorrow. Like, we got them at 1 p.m., you know, Chad Brinker, Mike Borgonzi, as well as Brian Callahan, and that'll be a good question for tomorrow.
So the central question that we were kicking around in the first hour of our show was, if you believe across the board that when you look at everybody's regular board, that Cam Ward is somewhere between 6, 12, 15 in some cases on the low end, but most people don't have him as the top talent in this draft. But because he's playing quarterback, that obviously, you called it the quarterback tax. That was the term used. I think that's apropos. Mm-hmm. But the question I had, which I thought was an interesting one that D-Mace answered, was if you were at TD, let's say you asked Mike Borgonzi the day after the draft and said, was Cam Ward your first player on your board, or was he the player taken because he's a quarterback? D-Mace argues that you cannot say that, hey, he was sixth on our overall board, but because he's a quarterback, we thought this was the right time to take him here. D-Mace says you cannot do that. But what's the answer in your mind?
I mean, I think there's an understanding that there is that quarterback tax, and he may not be the number one prospect. I mean, I would imagine that Travis Hunter is the top prospect on most boards, but Ward is the top prospect. I would say this, Borgonzi, if I were to speak for him or like try to figure out what he's thinking, it would be this. Ward is the highest-rated player that matches – our highest need, right? Yes. And so I think that's why it's just an instant marriage. He and the Titans at the top of the draft. They need a quarterback. He's the best quarterback in this class, and boom, there it is.
We all agreed you'd have to massage your wording there.
Yeah, it's you're basing your draft on your need. So you've had time to evaluate your or self-scout yourself. Can't use self twice. Well, self-scout. And you've determined that our big board should look like this because of our scouting of ourselves. So, yeah, y'all may have him, all 31 of y'all may have him, you know, at least a top eight, but we have him number one on our board based upon our needs.
And I think, TD, that's where it's – if they follow through with what we all believe they're probably going to do, and that's take Cam Ward, carrying that weight of being the first overall pick – when everybody knows the label and the storyline. The storyline, the best human interest story, the minute he's picked, is a great story. That here's a guy that was not recruited out of high school. That's
zero
the first,
star recruit.
Zero
out of
star
high
recruit. First pick in the draft. That's a great story. But from that moment on, all the Titans fans aren't going to worry about all that. They're like, hey, he's the first pick in the draft. There's a certain expectation level that goes with that. That's going to be what carries. That's going to be what he carries with him.
Yeah, and that's fine. And I tell you, from the people that I've talked to, he's built for that. Really, that's really what it has come down to from conversations I've had. And, I mean, we're talking about a guy who was, as you said, a zero-star recruit going to Incarnate Word, and his dad is like, hey, you know, it'll be cool if you get to play. He's like, Pops, no, I'm going to start. You know what I mean? And his dad is trying to reel that in, and guess what he does? He goes out there and starts, you know what I mean, over a guy who was already there as the quarterback. So I don't think this is anything new to Cam Ward, right? And I think he's continued to project, hey, look, man, this is what I'm going to do, and he's gone through and done it. I know in talking to Xavier Restrepo last week for talking with TD, I mean, the guy told me, he said he's never seen somebody – be able to come in and captivate and turn a building around in 8 months the way Cam Ward does. And I think that's something. I'm talking to Darrell Colbert Jr., his QB coach. You know, he said they go back to Miami for the pro day, and he had to wait for Cam because Cam was going through and, you know, greeting us, shaking hands and giving hugs to everybody, including just, you know, random people there, you know, ball boys, whatever. And I think when you have a person like that, you understand the moment and you just continue to rise to it. I think from talking to the people that I've spoken to, Ward is very capable of doing that.
Teron, before we let you go, let's discuss one other quarterback in this draft, Shedeur Sanders. a lot of conjecture about the fate of Shedeur Sanders in this draft. Where do you think he ends up, and what do you make of the rise and fall of Shedeur Sanders in the draft discussion over the past couple of months?
You know, here's the thing, and we just see it way too much, where you have people just regurgitate stuff that they hear without even watching. If you watch Shedeur Sanders play, you're going to say, man, this guy's actually a pretty good quarterback. You know, so it's just the rise and fall in draft media or draft Twitter or however you want to. A lot of these are people that didn't watch him, you know, and they're just kind of riding the wave and like I said, repeating what they heard. But I think, you know, if you look within the league, the Giants have obviously done extensive work on him. But I don't, you know, the Saints, the Steelers, those are all teams that I think will be, you know, very much in contention to select him. And if he does fall, better for him, right? You're in a better situation. So, end of the day, I think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of the Talking with TD podcast, fill-in host for Chase and Big Joe, and noted Mets fan. Did I get it all?
You almost did. Tomorrow night, there's an ESPN draft special. We got our NFL Nation mock draft. Make sure you guys tune in. I believe it's 6 p.m. Eastern time, but I'll be leading it off with the Cam Ward pick right from the pedestrian bridge. So check it out.
Oh, all right. Okay. Very nice.
I was just going to add all around good dude.
So we can come down to the pedestrian bridge?
What's that?
So can we come down to the pedestrian bridge? Can we be
over
there?
Oh, no, it's already recorded.
Oh, dang it. Dang it.
I will never tell anybody where I'm going to be. No, sir.
Teron
Especially
Davenport.
Where that pedestrian bridge is. I mean, exactly. The wrong people, there's a lot that could go wrong on that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I ain't trying to go swimming against
That's right. No, none of us are.
Multi-hyphenate Teron Davenport joining us on the program. Great stuff, TD. We'll talk next week.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you guys. Yeah.
Of course. 615-737-1025. Again, a reminder that our NFL draft coverage live from Twin Peaks in Madison on Thursday starting at 6 o'clock. Jared Stillman, Derek Mason, Chris Sanders, and Trevor Maddich. Friday at 6 o'clock from Boombaz in East Nashville with Chase McCabe, Joe Rexrode, and Chris Sanders. 615-737-1025. Let's talk about Nico Iamaliava because he officially has a new home. We'll discuss that coming up next. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.